Our Bible reading this morning is from Deuteronomy 32. Deuteronomy 32, verse 3 through 20. Listen to the word of God. For I proclaim the name of the Lord. Ascribe greatness to our God. He is the rock. His work is perfect. For all his ways are justice. A God of truth and without injustice, righteous and upright is he. They have corrupted themselves. They are not his children because of their blemish, a perverse and crooked generation. Do you thus deal with the Lord, O foolish and unwise people? Is he not your father who bought you? Has he not made you and established you? Remember the days of old. Consider the years of many generations. Ask your father and he will show you. Your elders and they will tell you. When the Most High divided their inheritance to the nations, when he separated the sons of Adam, he set the boundaries of the people according to the number of the children of Israel. For the Lord's portion is his people. Jacob is the place of his inheritance. He found him in a desert land and in the wasteland, a howling wilderness. He encircled him. He instructed him. He kept him as the apple of his eye. As an eagle stirs up its nest, hovers over its young, spreading out its wings, taking them up, carrying them on its wings, so that the Lord alone led him, and there was no foreign god with him. He made him ride in the heights of the earth, that he might eat the produce of the field. He made him draw honey from the rock, and oil from the flinty rock, curds from the cattle, and milk of the flock, with fat of lambs, and rams of the breed of Bashan, and goats with the choicest wheat. And you drank wine, the blood of the grapes. But Jezreel grew fat and kicked. You grew fat. You grew thick. You are obese. Then he forsook God, who made him, and scornfully esteemed the rock of his salvation. They provoked him to jealousy with foreign gods. With abominations, they provoked him to anger. They sacrificed to demons, not to God, to gods they did not know, to new gods, new arrivals that your fathers did not fear. Of the rock who begot you, you are unmindful and have forgotten the God who fathered you. And when the Lord saw it, he spurned them because of the provocation of his sons and his daughters. And he said, I will hide my face from them. I will see what their end will be. For they are a perverse generation, children in whom there is no faith. Our text this morning is from Philippians 2 from the New Testament, Philippians 2, 14 through 16. Philippians 2, beginning at verse 14. Hear the word of the Lord. Do all things without complaining and disputing, that you may become blameless and harmless, children of God, without fault, in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world, holding fast to the word of life, so that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain or labored in vain. This is the word of the Lord. Let's now have a prayer of illumination to prepare our hearts for the sermon. Let's pray. We thank you, Lord, that you have given us your word and that you have revealed yourself in it. Be with us that we may fully understand it, that we may be able to discern between truth and heresy. May your word be our only guide and standard, so that your name may be glorified and so that we may be edified. Amen. Brothers and sisters in the Lord, boys and girls, Kelowna, a safe place. Kelowna, a beautiful city in the Okanagan. There seem to be churches and Christians everywhere still, right? No, unfortunately not. According to a recent census, 63% of our neighbors do not know Christ. They do not know Him. That's a lot of people. If you consider that Kelowna has approximately 223,000 people in its metropolitan area, then that's over 140,000 people that do not know Him, that reject God's living Word. Right here, in our own backyard. God says, go therefore and make disciples of all nations. God's missional mandate for us, for our lives, is so exciting and it's so powerful. But how do we do this? It can be so intimidating as well. So the elders and the deacons of this church here in Kelowna have decided to increase our missional efforts this September. The Lord willing, we will be printing 4,000 postcards and we'll be distributing over 3,000 of those cards to the Black Mountain area up here, letting people know that we are here. It is in that light that I want to read this sermon about Philippians 2, verse 14 through 16 today. This is a sermon written by Justin Raukema, Pastor Justin Raukema, who, when he wrote this sermon, was a second pastor at the Abbotsford Canadian Reformed Church. Today, we are going to learn what God has done for us to make us shine like stars in a darkened world. First, He makes us stars, and then He makes us shine. Have you experienced this as well? My parents and grandparents, these are Justin Rockman's parents and grandparents, used to tell stories of their immigration, of what it was like to have a fresh start in a new country or in a new city. Talking and discussing real life is the best way to tell people what has shaped you into who you are. Our parents and grandparents tell us about their lives from before we were born. People do that because they want us to know where we came from, the decisions they made, and the hard work they did to give us a life we have now. Their stories teach us about what's important in this life. Philippians is a letter written by the Apostle Paul to the church in Philippi, an important city in Rome, in the Roman Empire. In the same way as our grandparents in these verses 14 to 16, Paul is teaching Philippi about who they are, what they are made of. How can we learn more about who these Philippians were? Most of the citizens in Rome were ex-soldiers. They were hardcore patriots to Rome. But Paul is not talking about Rome's history here. He reaches back to Israel's experiences. Let's unfold them together, shall we? First, the Apostle Paul begins telling them, do things without grumbling. This is an important lesson the Israelites heard often when they were told stories of how their ancestors wandered in the wilderness. They would complain to Moses, if you only left us in Egypt, where we ate 3 square meals a day, but you brought us here into this wilderness, where we are going to starve to death. And so in the letter to the Philippians, Paul is telling these Roman citizens, don't be like those Israelites in the wilderness. The apostle goes on, don't grumble, so that you can be pure and innocent children of God in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation. Here again, Paul is teaching the Philippians lessons from Israel's history. He's referring to Deuteronomy 32, where Moses wrote a song. We read part of it together. Israel became twisted and crooked. God saved them from slavery in Egypt. He gave them freedom. He loved them and took care of them like a good father would. Yet, they betrayed Him. The Israelites were unfaithful and disobedient. They would hardly follow their Heavenly Father. We learned about that in Pastor James' recent sermons about Exodus. Paul wants the church to hear the stories that teach them who they are. Because when we believe the gospel, the Old Testament becomes our story. The Bible tells us what God has done to make us who we are today. There's except one difference. Moses said that the Israelites were not God's children, that Israel became a wicked and perverse generation. They rebelled against their Heavenly Father, being violent, greedy, hateful, and unsatisfied with what God gave them. But the church, the New Testament church, is different, because God has done something more for us. We can stop grumbling. We can be blameless and innocent children of God. How can this be? Well, you know the answer. The difference is Jesus. In the Old Testament, the sacrifices they offered to God in the temple had to be without blemish. That taught Israel how their own lives should be without sin, so they could offer their lives to God in thankfulness. But in our case, the Lord Jesus died on the cross for our sins as a perfect sacrifice without blemish. He overpowered sin, and he rose from the dead. And he can make us pure, living sacrifices of thankfulness to God. Today, Philippians 2 tells us that Jesus has made it possible for us to rise from the dead. It's obvious that rising from the dead will happen in the future when Jesus comes back. The Israelites believed that God would raise them from the dead at the end of the age. They got that idea from Daniel 12, verse 2 and 3. And many of those who sleep, which means who were dead, in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, and some to shame and everlasting contempt. And those who are wise shall shine like the brightness of the firmament, and those who turn many to righteousness like the stars forever and ever. So now let's have a look again at our text in verse 15. That you may become blameless and harmless children of God, without fault, in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world. Now, there are a few different ways to say shine like lights in the Greek language. Paul is quoting word for word from Daniel 12, verse 3, like the stars forever and ever, the way the Jews and Christians used to read it in the Old Testament in the first century. So, let's put all this together now. One, we have Israel's history. Two, Daniel's prophecy. And three, Christ's sacrifice. What God has been doing all along with his people Israel, he was doing it for all us Christians. He was making us who we are today. Stars in the world. Even though we will be bodily raised from the dead in the future, like Daniel said, today, Philippians 2 says, God has given us a piece of that glory already. In a sense, we are already beginning to do what our resurrection selves will be able to do after Christ returns. You are sitting here in church this morning. This message is for you. You are on your way to being a pure and blameless child of God. Do you believe this? You are a star. I'm not sure we would be so quick to actually believe that about ourselves. And it's humbling and immobilizing for sure. But it's true. And God calls us to believe it today. When we stop believing it, it's like a BC Hydro, having a power failure. No electricity. So then we stop believing it, and it results into a lack of zeal to grow as a Christian, to reach out to all those unbelievers, over 140,000 of them in Kelowna alone, because when we stop believing it, we lose confidence in what God is doing in us and through us, that God is using us for some greater purpose. Where are you in this story? Do we underestimate ourselves? If we think too little of what God is doing in our lives, we will do less than God calls us to do in this church and in this world. So let's look at who makes us shine like stars now. Many Christian pastors and scholars have pointed out that in our culture, the world we live in today, we are less and less informed by the Bible. Our culture is less and less likely to embrace Christian principles. The Apostle Paul knew what it was like to live in a culture that rejected Christian principles. He wrote to the Philippians that they had to be active Christians, even though they were surrounded by so much godlessness. Similar to the Old Testament Israelites, before Jesus came, they tried desperately to keep themselves separate from their neighbors, to make sure that they didn't become like those Egyptians or Canaanites, and then later on, Romans or Greeks. They tried to stay different by focusing on their circumcision, on the food they ate, on their Sabbath day, and new moon celebrations. But really, they became just like the other nations, crooked and twisted. Today, there are many people who live as enemies of God, a culture ruled by envy, selfishness, greed, and their own ideology. One only has to look at the LGBTQ movement to get a picture. It's a world animated by different gods, by different idols, and therefore under the influence of the devil. Philippians 2 tells us God's purpose for our lives. It's not isolation, not hostility. God made us to shine in this world. Seems dangerous going out there? We've seen it lots of times, how tempting and easy it can be to simply give in to the supposed fun, supposed ease, and supposed riches of our culture. So here in Philippians, God adds the most important ingredient to fulfilling our purpose. Hold on to the word of life. The Bible makes us shine. And it makes us shine because the Holy Spirit uses the word to transform us, to make us different than the world. The Bible is a living book. It is the true story of the whole world. When you read it, God is showing you how the real world came into being and how it works. He is showing you what He is doing in this world. When you put it down, it doesn't leave you. It fills you. It informs you. It changes your perception, opens your eyes and your heart to the truth. And when you go out into the real world, you accept that what the Bible teaches is true. Really, it is the only truth in this world. You accept that your life needs to be lived according to the rules, expectations, and truth found in this true Word of God. Now, how can we hold on to that Word of God? Colossians 3 verse 16 says, "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord." So, what that means is, you've got to read your Bible. You've got to come to church. You've got to hear the word preached and sing those songs. You've got to hear the word preached and sing those songs. Let me repeat it again. I know this is not proper English, but hopefully it will make an impact. When we hold on to this word of life, in these ways we begin to live in obedience to God. We begin to live in the way He made us to live. And we will stand out in this dark world. And we will shine with God's wisdom, love, and peace. And we are not supposed to put this light under a bushel, or shine it in the world's eyes to blind them. The author of Philippians has pulled this imagery of shining stars from the book of Daniel. In Daniel 12, the stars are supposed to lead men to wisdom and righteousness. We can shine by living the gospel message where we live, work, and study, where people will see that money isn't our motivation. Let people see how you love, how you are trustworthy. Then they will know you are motivated by God's glory and building others up. We can find ways to build trust with our neighbors, also with our friends who might not be embracing our Savior. But personal evangelism isn't the only way to shine the gospel. Evangelism is essentially the church's mission. The best way to shine the light of the gospel into Kelowna is to use our blessings to bless others, by having meaningful and biblical conversations with those who hopefully have come to our church through our evangelism efforts, showing interest in their lives and also opening a bit up a bit about our lives. By inviting these neighbors and friends back to our church, we can shine the gospel as we work together to show Christian love. God wants us to take His light and shine it out into the darkness. Then they will see God's wisdom, and the cross won't seem so foolish to them anymore. Unbelievers will realize their need for a Savior. God wants to lead many more to the right relationship with Him, and then they will repent. And He will forgive them and bring them into His covenant of peace and love. So let's draw all this to a close. I've heard people talk about evangelism as an add-on to the purpose of the church, like it's a hobby horse for some people in council or some people on an evangelism committee. But let me leave this with you today. Evangelism is not at all an if-we-have-time thing. God commands us to get His word out, to shine His wisdom and righteousness into the darkness. We have to do it. It's not a choice. God made us so that we can do it. He has given us His light, and He has promised to shine through us. So be filled with the light of the gospel. Pray for opportunities to shine this light into Kelowna, and may God's name be glorified through all this. Amen. Let's pray. O God of truth, thank You for Your word this morning. We thank You for a Savior who showed us His light and showed us how to shine it out into the darkness. Help us so that we can live out of our faith in Christ and speak the truth everywhere. Please grant us to be constructive in our communication, building up instead of tearing down. We want to do this for Your glory and for the good of those around us. So we ask for Your guidance and strength to do this. Amen.